Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. And as you're turning there, Philippians 3, 10 through 16, I want to remind you that Matthew 28 says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you." And I love the last part. It says, "And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." That is what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be about. A couple of things very quick before we jump right into this. First of all, March 8th, what an amazing night, ladies. Don't miss it. Pastor, myself, Jeremy, Matt, Ryland, and I don't know if they got the email yet, Paul, but the deacons, if you haven't got your email, surprise, we're going to be there to open up in prayer over all the ladies of the church, because we're leadership. Maybe we've not always done a great job of that, but we're going to be here that night to pray over our women to say thank you. Mainly, thank you for putting up with us. But we're going to be here. Men, the next night, March 9th, 6 o'clock, Travis Cowan and the men are going to make and cook a lot of really bad food. It's going to take 10 years off of our lives, so you don't want to miss that. And then we're going to come in here after we eat for a challenge, because men, we are called to lead. And pastors are going to talk about what that means. March 8th, ladies. March 9th, men. Ladies, it's for ages, all women. There's going to be some children here to read Scripture. There's going to be some senior adult women to read Scripture. And there's going to be prayer. Men, we're asking you to bring your teenage sons, so they can see what it means to be leadership. Kendra, thank you so much. I said this in first service, I say it again. I am adopted. I have a heart for the children that nobody wants. I could have been one. My dad used to tease me, "Well, sometimes we should have taken you back." So I've got this right here while I'm going to preach to remind me of why me, my wife, and my youngest daughter are going to go with Mindy end of May, 1st of June. So, yesterday we had a group of people meet to talk about the students that nobody wants in Owosso and what we can do to make sure they know Central Baptist wants them. Amen? Go into all the nations. Owosso, out, 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 and out. So, let's start Philippians 3, 10 through 16. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Then he closes out with this: let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And I love Paul because he adds this. Now, if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. It's a little slam from Paul. I kind of like that. But we must hold on to the process we have already made. Paul was around 30 years old when he wrote these words. We would consider that a young man. But Paul had lived a life pretty full up to this point. So three things I want to look at today, three things I want to focus on. Number one, don't settle. Don't settle. Verse 12, I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on. I press on. Great Christian leader making a great statement. Paul was never satisfied with his present state of being. He wanted more. And this is a dude, a cat, whatever name you want to put in that makes you think you're cool. I'm not. Even though somebody did say I looked like a riverboat gambler today, he was never satisfied with where he was at. He pushed on. He never quit being more until his day of completion, eternity. He was in prison when he wrote this. If anyone ever had a right to quit, it was Paul. If anyone had to say, enough, God, you threw me in the clink. You threw me in prison. I'm done. I've done enough. I'm done. It was Paul. Paul had a right to say, enough's enough. I've done plenty. I'm done. But what was he doing? He was writing letters to the church. And apparently God thought that was pretty important enough to put it in what we call the Word of God, the Bible, Holy Scripture. God breathed thoughts from the Father, Paul's letters, while he was in prison. That's pretty important stuff, don't you think? Pretty important enough for God to say, read this today, 2018. Paul had every right to say, I'm out, I'm done. But what was he doing? Writing the Word of God, praising God, singing, meditating on the Word, letting living water flow out of him. Don't settle. Paul was not settling. He had achieved all that he could worldly. He went to the finest schools. He was from a wealthy family. He learned from the best philosophers of the day. Yet, he was not happy with where he was at. And let's talk about spiritually. Oh, by the way, Paul's crazy. He wrote half the New Testament. He had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ himself, yet he is saying, I have not achieved it yet. But one thing I do, press on. I'm not there. I press on. I don't want to embarrass anybody in here. I don't want to call anybody out. I don't want to do that. But I want to tell you about two people that shared the similar story. Two people in our congregation have basically told me the same story. This is it. By the way, Wild at Heart has taught us, some of us are going through that again in a couples group. Wild at Heart teaches us, men folks, speaking of March 9th, men, look here. Men, we really base our security, we base our achievement on our career, on our job. Two men have told me this, that they are giving up, not willing, giving up their careers because their career, remember, men's security, our default, our fallacy lies with our careers. They are giving up their careers not only just to stay in Owosso, to stay here at Central. In a career-driven society called America, this is a fact. Men will pick up their family, take their children out of their schools, their security, their comfort zone, take their women out of their little tribes, and haul them off across the country, saying it's for the good of the family. With no thought to what it does to the children, what it does to the women. Now, I say this, and hold on, I'm not going to call out which child, my oldest. When we were moving from Jinx, Oklahoma to Owosso, we were crossing the Jinx Bridge, and my oldest, is she even here today? My oldest said to me, thanks, Dad, for running my life. You're welcome. Thanks be to God in his ultimate wisdom and his ultimate sovereignty. A year later, she said, Dad, thank you for the best move in our entire life. And you guys know I say it 100 times, Central truly is our home. Thank you. So there are times when a move has to happen because it is God's will. These two men have told me it is God's will for me to say to my company, we are not leaving, thus saith the Lord. And it's not just Owosso. It's not just Oklahoma. Listen to me say it again. It's because of this body of believers. And they say it's because God is doing something. And he says, thus saith the Lord, do not leave this place. In a society that welcomes job transfers to get more buck, to keep an economy job going, these two said no. And it's costing them not a job, a career. For every man in here, they know exactly what I'm talking about security being linked to a career. That is not settling. Now, by the way, I'm not telling everybody to quit their jobs and quit their careers, okay? What I'm saying is, listen to thus saith the Lord. Don't settle. And there are times when God says, pack up. your security lies with the place, not with me. Amen? Don't settle. Number two, and this is tough. This is what wakes me up. This is what keeps me up. Get over it. Well, this isn't fun like when you're funny and joking. Verse 13, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Stop there. Forgetting the past. Great Christian, great statement. The past keeps us from the future. Hey, the past keeps us from today. The past keeps us paralyzed. Three things about the past. Number one, there's the sin of the past. Today is the new day. Paul is saying, today I live for Christ. The sins of the past. We could pass it around a microphone and try to outdo each other on our past. Some of you are like, oh, please, let me get out my phone and record. Sins of the past. Look at Paul. He was there when the first martyr happened. He was there when Stephen was killed. He was holding the cloak, the cloaks of those that stoned Stephen. He also killed many Christians. He was Saul, the killer of Christians. This is a pretty big past sin life, amen? He was the Christian killer. And a possibility of a burdened past is forgiven, yet not forgotten. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? What? Okay, I picked on the first service. I'm going to pick on you. Here's what I'm getting right now. Old things become what? New. They become brand new. Praise Jesus. I'm brand new. Hallelujah. Oh, might as well. I did it to them. I'm going to do it to you. Why would anybody in their right mind want to get saved looking at us? Well, we're new and we're all saved. Your past has been forgiven. Thank you, Caitlin. Yes. What you have done is dead. Maybe, you know, maybe we should pass around a mic and get some confession time. Maybe I'd like to know what some of y'all done. So I just saw a face go. Well, praise Jesus, it's dead. Your past is dead. What you've done is dead. The things that put Jesus on the cross are dead, for crying out loud. Teenagers, I know what some of y'all done. Let me go ahead and just say it. One kid just went, does he really know what I've done? Yeah, I told him. Okay, listen. Your past is dead. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are dead. Your sins are dead. What you have done is, listen, it's like when you go to the Lord and say, hey, God, you remember that thing I did before I saved? God goes, nope. It's not that he has a bad memory because he's so old. I mean, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. God's not like that. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and forgets it. He remembers it no more. Maybe we need to go to charismatic school. My goodness. Amen. It's dead. But some of y'all hang on to it like it's your little like security blanket, like Linus. My sins. He left heaven for you to take your sins upon himself. And when you come, Lord Jesus, forgive me, he does. And he takes them and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. They're dead. Act like it. Get the sour persimmon out of your mouth. I mean, Rylan and Mindy get up here and they sing these wonderful praise and worship songs. I mean, I'm sitting, I couldn't even get up on the last song. I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you for saving me. And some of you do this. Okay, better. Okay, I love y'all. And I didn't have coffee, I promise. I didn't have the 5-hour energy because last time, oh my goodness, it was embarrassing. I watched it. But you do this. Is there going to be a special camp in heaven for the fun suckers? I mean, thanks for laughing, Jeremy. You made me feel better. Is there? I mean, literally. When you get to heaven, is there going to be a scan code? Fun sucker, back. Behind the forest of gold. Our sins are washed away. We're whiter than snow. But you know what's keeping you like this? What keeps me like this? Sins of the past. They're haunting us. Who brings that to our mind? The ugly one. Whose name with which we will not mention. But let's read verse 18 for a second. Let me be nice. I'll be nice now. I'll be nice. You told me to play nice when we were praying this morning. I failed. Verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God. Amen? Who brought us back to himself through Christ. Ah, here we go. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. All right, vision. Look at the screen. Vision, the art of seeing the possibility. Here it is. Sum it up, and then we'll move on. We have a purpose. You want your vision? Everybody keeps asking pastors, "What's our vision? What's our vision? What's our vision? What's our vision?" All right, here it is. I'll give it to you, and then be quiet. You have been saved to be reconciled to God, to reconcile others to him. You an alcoholic before you got saved? Did you like the drink before you got saved? God delivered you of that drink. It's gone. It's done. You're the one that keeps grabbing it back. You've been saved from it. Your job is to reconcile alcoholics to Jesus Christ so they can be free to reconcile other alcoholics to Jesus Christ so they can sit and they can tell their friends and they can tell their friends and they can tell their friends. There's your vision. Bye. We're done. No, I'm just kidding. We are agents of the Most High God. Sexual addictions, you've been set free, reconciled to a holy God, your sin is dead to help others be set free. Anger problem, blow your top all the time, God is reconciling you through Jesus Christ so you can find the other hotheads and say, look, Jesus Christ set me free. He set me free from my sin. Let me introduce you to Jesus. We could go on. We could list a list of sins a mile long. Guess what? Everyone goes to Christ and Christ alone because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still in the saving business. But we want to tell everybody our opinions. Here's what I did. No, you know what you did? Jesus Christ. Well, I did this thing here. No, you didn't. Jesus Christ. I'm 52 and I'm finally learning. Oh my goodness, it really was Christ. Leon, it was Christ that set me free. Nothing I did anything. Christ and Christ alone. The gospel. Sins of the past. There's a whole message there, but let's go on to successes of the past. Pride. We cannot bask in the glory of good past accomplishments, but we can thank God for what he has done in our lives. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is not 1970. This is not 1980, not 1990, not 2000. This is 2018. What are you doing today? What am I doing today? What are we going to do when we walk out these doors? Well, you know, back in 1903, stop. I need to quit looking back to when I was a youth pastor. Who cares? I hadn't been a youth pastor for years. Who cares? What am I doing today as Kevin Laufer? What am I going to do when I walk out that door for the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and day forever. But this is not even 2017. Wait, but that was only a few months ago. Exactly. It's changing fast, and we're losing. Why? We have forgotten that it's Christ and Christ alone. He still changes lives, transforms lives. Jesus is the same. The gospel is still the same. Tell people your story. It's amazing. I say this, I'm going to say it, I'm going to keep saying it, I'm going to keep saying it. I said it again earlier, I'll say it again today. We have senior adults who are skaters that never touched a skateboard. Their mama still left them, their daddy still left them, they still struggle with abuse, and they could talk to those kids better than anybody in this room because they had the same hurts and the same pains. And speaking of hurts, sins in the past, successes of the past, and I make my Oklahoma Baptist University preacher, teaching pastor so proud because sutures of the past, all S's. Wish I'd have made an A in that class. Sutures of the past is what? Stitches. What are stitches? They cover up hurts, pains, wounds of the past. See, not only do the sins of the past hold us back, not only do the successes of our past hold us back, but our wounds hold us back. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 10. We're going to camp here for just a second, and then we're done. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 10. Don't settle and get over it. The sutures of the past are our hurts, our pains. If you mark in your Bible, I want you to get a pen or pencil ready. If you got your cell phone, I know you can click on there and you can outline stuff in there if you have the Life application from Life Church. Let's read this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Highlight that. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Highlight that. Source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles. Highlight this part. So that we can comfort others. Do you see a theme going on? Do you see the theme? When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Do you see the theme? For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your comfort and salvation. Underline this. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Put your finger there for a second. Look right here. Our pain and our comfort is not for nothing. Let's move on. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Then underline this. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives. Important passage right here. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Underline this. And we thought we would never live through it. Hold on right there. But look here. Have you ever been through, listen, something physical, mental, and spiritual that you did not think you would survive? Physically, did you ever think you were in a position in your life where you didn't think you'd live through it? Physical. Yes. Whether we're talking about an illness or on the mission field, there was one time where I thought, this is it. I remember turning to my friend Alfred saying, we are going to die. We are under such spiritual attack. We are going to die. I know that feeling. Okay? Mental. Did you mentally lay in bed thinking, I am not going to make this mental. I am not getting out of this. Yes, I have. I remember thinking, I will never get out of this bed. I'm not going to make this mental event in my life spiritual. Did you spiritually think there's a time where God was not going to come through? Have you? Those three things. Any one of those three things, yes. If you are human and alive, you have been through at least one of those three things. The writer here knows exactly what he's talking about. Now let's move on. In fact, we, circle this, expected to die. One of those three things. But as a result, Here we go. Key verse. We stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. 52, and I'm just getting this. Only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. Then I wrote out this, and he will rescue us again and again and again and again. We have placed our confidence, and I highlighted confidence. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And I wrote again and 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 again. He is our rescuer. And he does it. Why? So we can rescue. Say it again. So I very gently, okay, and kindly, this is our purpose. I have had people say to me, I don't need freedom groups. If you've noticed, we haven't had freedom groups in a while. Next month, Matt, Jeremy, and I are going to begin training facilitators. A different format, a different way. It's still the same thing. It's still facilitators to begin freedom groups again. And it's a different way. It's more real. It's more gut-level honest. But I've had people say to me, we don't need freedom groups. Challenge. I challenge the first service. I challenge you. Give me, Matt, or Jeremy 5 minutes alone, and we will find something. Because if we are human, and if we've walked the face of the earth of any time, we'll find something. Because sin is in this world. And if there is sin in this world, we all have something. Or we wouldn't need a Savior. And if we are called to reconcile people to God through Jesus Christ, and we are called to rescue people from their sutures, then we got to get over ours. Amen? Now, you may not need a freedom group for this reason, because you went to the Word of God, and old school, you handled it. But still give us that 5 minutes. Because there's a time I thought I did. There's a time Matt thought he did. Maybe not so much Jeremy. No, I'm kidding, Jeremy. I love you. There's a time we thought we did. And somebody sat down with us and opened up things like this. For your suffering, God rescued you so you can use that to rescue others. I'm picking on the senior adults because it's my tribe now, even though I'm terribly too young for them. I'm constantly telling them, talk to these people. They need to know someone at this advanced age has made it and is alive, because some of them don't think they're going to make that age. But they need to know it's because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Then the last point, verse 13 and 14. Dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. And it's actually two things. Paul's tricky that way a lot of times. And what? Looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. Aren't you glad there's an end of the race? Seriously, aren't you glad we can cross a finishing line? You know why? Because that means we win. Listen, we don't talk about this enough. We win. Not because of what we've done, but because Christ says, baby, hang with me, we win. Amen? Kendra, we show these kids through Christ, they win. That precious baby right here, she's going to win. Not Mindy. Let me cover up Mindy. No, I'm kidding. She left. Win. She's going to win. She's going to win. Guys, gals, you're going to win. I know it doesn't feel like you're winning right now. It feels like you're getting kicked in the face every time you turn around. If you stick with Christ, you win. Win. Paul is saying the reason why I'm doing this is because I will win. Why? Because Christ is not a liar. He is not a liar. I will win the heavenly prize which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. All right, we're going to close with this. Last week was pretty monumental in the life of evangelicals, wasn't it? Billy Graham, 99. Whew. He couldn't make it one more year. Come on, Billy. I mean, all the accolades. Even USA Today, secular publication, called him what? America's pastor. So many stories. I have a very dear friend of mine. He was my pastor for a few years. Got to actually go to Dr. Graham's house several years ago and sit down with him. And he and his wife went, and he tells this story, put it on Facebook. And I'd heard the story before, that he sat down with Billy and they spent 2 hours just, you know, my pastor and his wife with Billy Graham. And at the end, of course, I love my pastor. He's like, I was trying to be all holy and spiritual and say, well, Dr. Graham, how can I pray for you? And Dr. Graham just broke down in tears and said, oh, pastor, I don't need any prayers. Just the fact that you came and spent tears down Dr. Graham's face, that you and Cynthia came and spent 2 hours with me. Oh my, you blessed me. I don't need another thing. I mean, here's the icon of evangelicals, right? Dr. Billy Graham. And Larry prayed with him anyway, and they got out into the car, and my friend said he just cried, just wept. Oh my gosh, you know, just overwhelmed. Every story you hear about Dr. Graham, I mean, he was just that kind. His nephew said he was just Uncle Billy. He was the same in the pulpit as out. Said he even got in trouble by Uncle Billy because he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. But he said, but he was Uncle Billy. I mean, just, okay, let me just say it. A real dude. Right? A real dude. Just real. His message never changed. He wasn't political. He wasn't something he wasn't. He was just Billy Graham. Who preached what? Christ and Christ alone. He preached Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never wavered. Someone else died 2 weeks ago. A friend. His name was Shane Hall. He was a pastor. Pastor of First Southern Dell City. And he was a friend of Ryland and my friend. And friends that knew him. Tony, you knew Shane. Just a guy, just a dude, could preach. Oh, my. And Leon and I were talking about, in fact, I called Leon out, and he preached a couple years ago at the convention. He preached a sermon, All You Need Is Jesus. And at that time, Shane knew he was dying. He had cancer, I don't remember, 4 or 5 years in the stomach. And when he preached at that time, he knew he was dying. And I met Shane through one of my best friends, who was his youth minister several years ago, at Emmanuel in Tulsa. Shane was that guy you met. You just were his friend. Just a dude. He wasn't political. He was just Shane. I'm thinking of a 99-year-old man who loved Jesus with all his heart and a 47-year-old man that loved Jesus with all his heart. Both of them entered into glory a week apart. One, 47 years old. You guys didn't know him. There's a handful of us that knew him. Both of them heard these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Both of them. And God didn't look at Billy and go, Billy, come on in. Shane, can you wait? Because Billy's coming in. No. Christ embraced both Billy and Shane. And I could imagine that somewhere around the world, somebody else probably died that nobody knew. Nobody. Maybe somebody from Nicaragua that died that we don't even know, who just loved Jesus with all their heart, never preached a sermon. But just loved Jesus with all their heart. And maybe only their family knew. Maybe somebody in, who knows, in Russia hiding for their life because they believe in Jesus. Nobody knows. And you know what? Jesus would welcome them the exact same way. Who knows? Maybe Jesus even said, hey, wait a minute, Billy. Pedro's first. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Because God is no respecter of person. All he cares is the heart. So I'm asking you this question. What would people say about you? Well, let's make it real. What would your spouse say about you? What would your kids say about you? I told my wife this in first service. Yesterday, if Jesus were to ask my wife, she would say, well, he's a grumpy butt. She was wanting me to be better today than I was yesterday. I was just in a foul mood. So I'm glad I didn't die yesterday. Today, better. What do your kids say about you? Nieces, nephews. Think of the closest person you are to now, maybe a friend. What would they say about you? Does your heart beat after the heart of Christ? Are you reconciling your teenage friends to Christ? Do you even care? Senior adults, are you even trying to reconcile your kids or your grandkids to Christ? Are you busy doing this? Now let's get to the greatest one of all. Would you hear those words? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, now let's get real. Or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you. Your works are unauthorized. You're not even in. Because you've never bowed your knee to Christ and been reconciled to God, let alone reconcile anyone else to him. When Shane died at 47, at 52 I went, oh, I really got to start getting this in order because I could be next. What say you? Be a reconciler, people to God. Because Jesus Christ really is the only way. You bow your head and close your eyes. Very simple, very plain. We got a missions conference this afternoon at 3. We got a lot of things we need to be doing, but there is nothing more important than these next few moments. The connections room is over there. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by the way, you know if you know him or not. You know if you've been playing a game or not. I'm not here to trick you because the Holy Spirit speaks way better than I can. Right over there, me, Matt, and Jeremy will be over at the connections room. Come over there. Oh, by the way, you're not getting saved because of us. We didn't hang on a cross for you, but we know the one who did. Be reconciled to God today through Jesus Christ. And if you need to be a reconciler, people to Christ, there is your calling. There is your vision. There is no other answer for anyone except Christ and Christ alone. Just make a commitment where you are. Let's do what he's called us to do. No more programs or plans. And if you have sutures, if you have hurts, you don't have to wait till we start reconciling each other to our hurts and pains through Christ. Come over to the connections room and talk to one of us. We'd love to get you on the path of healing. I'm going to pray, do what you need to do, and then we'll turn it over to Ryland. Father God, whatever you want to do, you do it best because you are awesome and you are holy. And for whatever reason, you love us because you sent Jesus Christ to reconcile us. Thanks, God. May we love you with our lives.